Welcome to another campus conversation, discussions with Transylvania University faculty highlighting their interests, passions, and pursuits. Here is Brandon Trapp.
So I'm here with Dr. Carrie Hammond, and we're going to talk today about digital liberal arts. So first I want to ask, what is digital liberal arts?
It's a loaded question, of course. You know, academics never like to give straightforward definitions of anything. When I think about the digital liberal arts, I sort of think about it as almost a silly thing, like a silly title, because the digital is already in the liberal arts.
And we're not,
when we're just talking about liberal arts education without any sort of adjective or other word tacked on the front there, I think the digital is already there.
Okay.
But I think we name it that because the technology is often sort of invisible, mm-hmm. right? There are different course management systems like Moodle and other things that are being used, and so the digital is there. But they sort of blend into the background of the larger activity of higher education, and they're not necessarily the focal point of it.
Okay.
And so I think that's part of the reason why we give it that full label of digital liberal arts, to sort of call to attention the digital that's there already. I think also, though, it is a very purposeful choice to focus on teaching with and about digital tools.
Okay.
So instead of having it just be a part of the course, and the course could have existed 20, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and the digital tools don't necessarily change what's happening in the course overall, right? Like you're just using Google Drive to upload your folder instead of handing it to your professor or something like that. Digital liberal arts does make a very purposeful move to focus on teaching with and about technology so that students are critical users of digital tools, so that they are producers of good digital tools. So it's calling attention to analyzing the digital, thinking critically about the digital, being creative producers with the digital, and even producing the digital.
Okay.
Right? So yeah, I probably could talk for most of our time about just like explaining exactly what digital liberal arts means, but maybe for now I'll leave it at that. I think when we think of liberal arts and think of, I lied, I just said I was going to leave it at that, now I'm going on. When we think of liberal arts as being interdisciplinary and being about questions about what it means to be human, I think that we can't have those conversations today without thinking about the digital and often using the digital.
Okay.
So it's really just putting a more explicit focus on the digital.
Okay. And is this something that's kind of like, are we developing this kind of thing here at Transy on our own, or is this kind of a thing that's been going on in other places that we've like been taking from as well and kind of like getting inspired by and using?
Yeah, good question. It's both of those things.
Okay.
And so I guess really it's more the second one than the first, because it does already exist in other places.
Okay.
So we are definitely in conversations that we've had about what would it mean to embrace the digital liberal arts here at Transy. We've been having conversations about other programs, other schools that are, whether they're calling it digital liberal arts or something else. We have definitely been looking to see what are other schools already doing. And I think kind of in response to what I was saying about it already being there, even if we're not calling it that, I think we've also been trying to just call attention to the things that are already happening at Transy before we slapped that label on it, right? That there are already students doing all sorts of really cool things in music tech, for example, right? And that certainly falls right into digital liberal arts. There's already faculty who are using digital tools as their part of their teaching, as part of their research, as part of their creative endeavors. So that's why I say it's kind of both of those things, that on the one hand, giving it that name, digital liberal arts, recognizes things that are already here and tries to not necessarily organize them as if to say that what was happening before was no good, okay. but in an attempt to recognize that if we put that label on it and bring together the people who are already interested in and doing things that we might think of as digital liberal arts, that shared space, that chance to come together and talk about what they're doing, to share resources, best practices, mm-hmm. products, that would be helpful. We all sort of get so busy, right? We have these, as students and teachers and everybody here at Transy, we have all of the stuff that we have to do every day. Yeah. And so even if we're already incorporating digital tools and technologies into what it means for us to be students or faculty, we don't often get a chance to talk about that critically with each other, mm-hmm. to really focus on what did I do here and why did I do it that way and how is that similar to what you did in that class over there.
Okay.
So I think part of the reason that I think it's really important for us to name it as such here is to create a space for people who are already doing this to come together and share ideas. And, you know, you hear about what somebody else did that didn't work so well, and so you mm-hmm. can avoid doing that in the yeah. future. But in the course of doing that, yes, we are definitely looking at other schools that have things. I mean, there are schools that have actual things that are called, like, the Digital Liberal Arts Center or okay. something of that nature, right? There's different names, but there's some sort of central physical space on their campus, particularly at larger schools that have more resources.
Okay.
There are, you know, teams of people that work in those centers mm-hmm. who gather resources, who lead workshops, who send faculty and students out to conferences where they can show off things that they've created with digital tools, or they can learn about technology and higher education and what all those promises and pitfalls might be.
Okay.
Yeah, does that give you a sense of how it's kind of both of those things?
Yeah. It kind of sounds like if the DART Lab were like a whole building.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, administration.
Yeah, well, and I will say we've had a lot of conversation about expanding the DART mm-hmm. Lab as part of these larger conversations
yeah.
about digital liberal arts or whatever it might be called at Transy. There's a group of, I would say it's at least maybe like 12, 15 people that have gotten together, faculty, staff, members of administration, including Dr. Carey and Dean Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten together a few times starting, I think it was last May, perhaps. And then we met a couple times during fall semester, this previous semester, to talk about really what would a larger digital liberal arts initiative look like specifically here at Transy. And the DART Lab has always been a big part, not the only part, but a mm-hmm. big part of those conversations. And I think there is a lot of excitement about the possibility for the DART Lab to expand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the value of the DART Lab expanding would be? Like, what would we as a campus, as a whole, get out of that?
Yeah. Well, I have many ideas about that. One of the things, to answer that question, I think I have to talk a little bit about the limitations that the current configuration of the DART Lab has.
Okay.
We are very fortunate that we have a DART Lab at all,
oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
We have a lot of great tools and, you know, a lot of software and a lot of even just like the fact that there's a space where people who are taking different sorts of classes or working on different sorts of projects can come together mm-hmm. and sort of like share that energy and see each other's
yeah.
projects. Like, it's great that we have what we have. But because we want to keep growing with the digital arts and media minor being something that we have now and thinking about these larger digital liberal arts initiatives, we're a little bit limited
mm-hmm.
by the size of the space. There are only 12 computers set up in here.
Yeah.
So right away, class sizes have to be capped
mm-hmm.
at 12 or below. Usually they're capped around 10, just sort of for space. I think that's our real limitation. There's only one DART Lab,
yeah.
right? And we only have so many class sessions that we can use, right?
Yeah.
Like on Tuesday, Thursday, there's really only, four times mm-hmm. that people can sign up for classes. So
yeah.
we have to, the folks who teach in the DART Lab, we do a lot of you know, negotiating, what time do you want to teach your class? Oh, okay, I can teach at this time and we can work this out. It would be really nice. Part of, I think, our one of our really big dreams in expanding the Dart Lab is that it's not one space anymore. It's multiple spaces or a space that's large enough to sort of be sectioned so that multiple classes could be happening simultaneously, right? Like there could be intro to music tech and digital rep both offered on Tuesday at 11 o'clock or something, right? So I think just in terms of how many students could be enrolled in courses, the possibilities for additional course offerings or additional times that courses are offered, that'd be a real benefit of expanding the space. Another thing that I notice particularly in the classes that I teach, when I teach digital rhetoric in here, for instance, we have a lot of hands-on time, but we also have a lot of discussion. Have you ever tried to have a discussion in this space where you can see everybody else in the room?
Yeah, we usually move to the other side of the room and have to, like, leave our computers.
That's exactly what we do. So the way that the computers are currently set up works really well for individual work or even sort of like small group or partner work, or even for a class where the professor is maybe able to show something on the big screen, like, here's how you do this, and then everybody can kind of work on it on their own and they can come over and look with them. Like, it works really well for that, but it really does not work so well, as you've experienced, and so have I, when you're trying to have a full class discussion with 10 or 12 people and you're all rolling chairs over into this one side of the room that's very small and very cramped, and you've then left your computer, so if you had things there that you wanted to reference in the conversation, you don't have access to them anymore. Even just for me, when I'm when the students are all sitting at their computers, I can't actually see everybody in the room no matter where I'm standing. The monitors are so large and, you know, I'm kind of short, so maybe that's part of it. But, you know, I can't even see the students who are talking. I have to look around the monitors. And so there are just some sort of logistical things that I think an expansion would really help in that way. I also think we have some dreams about adding additional spaces. So, for instance, having a green screen. Having an area where that can be permanently installed, whether it's a room of its own or just sort of a section of a room, where lights are installed where they need to be for the space, and, you know, cameras are maybe always set up where they need to be, that sort of optimal setup so that it's easy to come in and out and not have to set that up all the time. So it would allow us to add to the types of spaces, the types of tools that we have, and the sorts of things that we can do if we had those spaces and those tools. Dr. Evans in the business program, he's really interested in virtual reality. So, you know, that could possibly, you know, you're talking about what sounds like if the Dart Lab was a whole building. We've definitely talked about, like, we want a whole building. We want to have, you know, what the Dart Lab is now and maybe a couple classrooms. We'd like to be able to have space for that green screen, maybe a room of its own. We'd like to be able to have that, if there is a virtual reality lab, for that to be there. We've talked about makerspaces. There are some makerspaces in town already, and we've got some relationships with those spaces, but we've talked about the possibility of maybe having a makerspace here on campus. And I know that Kurt Godey has talked a lot about, like, a dirty makerspace, which is something I wasn't even really familiar with before he started talking about it. But there's more of, like, heavy tools and things that are gonna, you wouldn't put them in the current Dart Lab, right? Because it would be too messy. There wouldn't be space for it. You wouldn't want all of that stuff flying around and getting in the technology that we already have in here. So it, if we could expand the Dart Lab, that that would also be another benefit, to have additional spaces and capabilities.
It seems like the digital liberal arts idea has kind of manifested itself recently with the digital arts and media minor. Can you talk about that a little bit?
talk about the minor specifically? Yeah. I think that when Tim Poloshek and Kurt Godey and I first started, we sat down and started having conversations about possibly creating a new minor. We had some of the same ideas that I mentioned earlier about calling attention to or making visible some of the work that was already happening.
Okay.
So we recognized that a lot of the things happening in the classes that we taught, not that they're doing the same things, but that they would work well together to create, you know, a curriculum that would prepare students to be really savvy users of technology, producers with technology.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard in higher education to change anything. It's hard to propose something entirely brand new. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
And so part of what we were thinking about also is, well, we're already doing these things. And if we could create a minor that would recognize that, first of all, it would call attention to some of the things that are already happening.
Yeah.
But second of all, it would almost, I don't want to say force, that's too negative of a word, but it would create reason for us, the three of us as faculty, to come together and talk about what we're doing.
Okay.
It would create, hopefully, ideally, this was one of our goals, you know, an environment here in the Dart Lab where students from different types of classes that are involved with digital art and media would come together into the same space and sort of feed off of each other's energy and creativity. So those are all things that we were thinking about. We looked at what we thought the goals of such a minor should be, to, you know, help students to become, I think we ended up putting some bullet points that boiled it down to saying that people could be skilled in audio editing, image editing, and video editing.
Okay.
But we really had, we have bigger, we think of the minor in bigger ways of focusing both on analysis and production, on the sorts of critical thinking skills that really everybody, we hope, would have when they're approaching new technology or old technology. Kind of talked around in circles here, trying to remember the original question that you asked me, which was to talk about.
Yeah, they just talked about the minor in general.
So after we had conversations about what we wanted the goals to be, we looked at the current courses that we all already offer and realized what we had suspected was correct, that the courses that we already have would create curriculum that would get students, it would help reach the goals that we had identified, that we would want this minor to, you know, sort of the student learning outcomes of what the minor would be. And so we went ahead and proposed it with the courses that we had already identified that we were already offering with the idea that we would like it to continue to grow.
Yeah.
So that was why I was mentioning earlier this idea of, like, proposing something brand new that's totally different and it taking so long. We, you know, would like to have more sort of, like, video production. That's part of the reason that we like this idea about the green screen. The three of us, I certainly, that's not my area of expertise. I think for Tim and Kurt, maybe it is a little bit more. I know Kurt has done that kind of work definitely before. But we also already have so many responsibilities in what we're currently doing. So we have dreams that this is a minor that gets established now, calls attention to the work already happening, creates spaces for faculty and students to come together collaboratively to work on that type of work, and has a lot of potential for growth, whether it's into a major or not. I haven't necessarily identified that as like an ultimate goal, I don't think, but that it's a really flexible design. Already electives are built into it. Students have a list of, there's five courses that we say are sort of the core of the curriculum, and they can choose to take all five of those in one elective, or they can choose to take four of those in two electives. And that's us from the get-go building in some of that flexibility and recognition that this is really interdisciplinary. And so while the core courses come from art music and WRC, mm-hmm. Writing, Rhetoric, and Communication, we obviously recognize that we don't own digital arts, yeah. and media, and we don't want to own, yeah. digital arts and media. So I think we toyed around with coming up with a list of courses that might be like suggested electives. Okay. And we were thinking of, you know, different classes in computer science, and there's lots of different, mm-hmm. film classes and different majors all across, yeah. campus. If we ended up expanding journalism at some point in the future, right? Like, I could imagine lots of overlap there.
Yeah.
And I think it was that last step where I said, like, oh, what if this happened in the future, that made us decide not to list any, okay. set of electives for people to take, because especially with digital arts and media, things are changing so frequently, yeah. that we can't really predict, you know, exactly which classes are going to be offered or going to, mm-hmm. you know, be created at some point that might fit into this. So we left the wording for that pretty flexible on purpose in an attempt to, I think, one, recognize the interdisciplinarity of the major or the minor. And then also to just sort of recognize that we don't know exactly what the future holds, but we think that there is a lot of potential for growth of the minor.
Okay. Do you think there's a specific kind of person that the minor is for?
Offhand, not really. But then that's not a great answer. because we don't imagine that every student's going to be interested in it, yeah. right? We recognize that some students will be really interested in it. Some might have, mm-hmm. some vague curiosity about it, and some already sort of have a plan of what they want to do, and that doesn't fit into it. That's fine. I think that the courses, whether they're taken sort of piecemeal, one on their own, or whether they're taken all together as a minor, they offer really great learning experiences for students, regardless of what they're interested in.
Okay.
But as a minor, something that someone would be saying, yes, I'm going to sign up and take all five of those in one elective, mm-hmm. or four of those in two electives. I mean, I think we recognize that it's going to draw students who are interested in thinking about technology, who are probably already using lots of different digital tools, people who are interested in knowing more about how they can use digital tools to be creative, mm-hmm. how they can create digital tools that will allow them to do things that they weren't able to do before, people who want to really think about analyzing digital tools that exist already and the ways that technology is affecting society and vice versa. I think we definitely recognize that students who are already interested in those sorts of questions, and who are interested in working hands-on with different types of technology and different, mm-hmm. digital tools are probably the ones who are going to be interested in the minor.
Okay.
Yeah. But we certainly hope that it's appealing, mm-hmm. you know, to everybody, because as we've talked about already a bit today, you can't really separate the digital from the liberal arts or from higher education or, mm-hmm. from what it means to be a productive member of society today.
Dr. Carrie Hammond, thank you.
Thank you. It's nice to talk with you.
You too.
You've been listening to another in our series, Campus Conversations, discussions with Transylvania University faculty.